Chamates. Bedikas Chametz, as many of us know, typically takes place on the night before Pesach. So we have the night, and then the next day is Erev Pesach, and then that night is the first Seder. Happens to be the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim that is going to start off this unit was actually the first Gemara that I learned in high school. High school was my first experience learning Gemara. And I had an incredible, incredible teacher. And as I was reading through preparing for tonight, I felt like I was back. He taught it to us so well that I remember it as if I learned it yesterday. And I know I'm pretty young, but high school was definitely not yesterday. So it's just those things that when you have a really good teacher, it stands out in your mind. This is one of those things that I felt like I was back in my freshman seat. So it's exciting to be able to share the information that was so dear and taught so beautifully to me. I hope that I can convey this information even half as well as he did. Okay, so we already talked about that there is an obligation to do Bedikas Chametz. So what is the obligation? Why are we specifically doing a search at night? If I was going to search for anything, I would want it to be during the day. Isn't it easier to see things if it's generally light outside? So if we look in the Gemara Maseches Pesachim in source number 14, Hashta Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. B'sha'a shebnei Adam mitzuyim b'vitehem. Why are we doing Bedikas Chametz at this time at night, which is called Or La'arba Asar, in the night before the 14th day? Because B'sha'a shebnei Adam mitzuyim b'vitehem, because this is a time when people are typically at home, the Or Haner yafel b'dika. And because the light of a candle is good for searching. So it gives us two potential reasons. One is that because most people are home at night, people might not be home during the day, just around in general to be searching their homes. So we do it at night so that people can be around to do it. But also it says, Ve'or haner yafel b'dika, because the light of a fire is good for searching. I don't know if anyone has ever tried this trick, but if you shatter glass in your home, and you are trying to clean up the glass. Not that this ever happens in my home with my three very energetic little boys. But sometimes glass may break and you want to try to clean it up. And the final step that my husband taught me in order to knowing that you have really rid the area of all of the shattered glass is to turn off the light and to use a flashlight or a candle or something to see if anything is still glimmering, if anything is still shining. The idea being that you wouldn't necessarily see the shards if it was in general light that was in the full room. But once it's dark, but you're zeroing in on specific areas, sometimes you can focus and you can see better in that specific area than you would have if it was in general light in the area. So this is the two reasons that the Gemara gives us, that it's a time when people are readily available to do the search. And it's also that specifically having it be dark all around, but using a light to shine on a specific area allows us to actually do a better search because the light of the candle is very good for searching and it illuminates a specific area. So now we ask the question of which part of the night on the 14th, so we have now begun with Yud Daled Nisan, which part of the night is the ideal time for performing Bedikas Chametz? Should you do it as soon as it gets dark? Should you do it in the middle of the night when it's the darkest possible time? When is the best time of night to perform it? And also, is there a level of ideal? Is there a level of Bedi'eved? Does it begin when Shkia starts and then get less desirable or more desirable? Let's look in the Ra'avad in source number 15 to see what his approach is. Aval hatam habarur shekol hamekomot shehu tzarich lahakdim letchilat halayla kegon bedikat hachamit umisyon misuat tani or mipnei she'adayin yesh sham or hayom ve'eino choshach. So he references back to a Gemara on Pesachim Daf Aleph, where it says, when do we do Bedikas Chametz or La'arba Asar, which would technically translate into light onto the 14th day. But we say that that means the night of the 14th day. So he says, why is it specifically calling the night or light? He says, because it's the time of the night when there is still a little bit of light. So then when does he say, therefore, is the ideal time to be doing bedikas chametz? Mipnei she'adayin yesham or hayom ve'eino choshech. At this time where the night has just begun and there's a little bit of light still remaining. Kedichtiv ulechoshech kara laila. And in the dark, we would call it night. So the Ra'avad is telling us that the ideal time would be right at the beginning of the night. When there's still a little bit of light in the sky, that would be the perfect time to do bedikas chametz. And if you're looking back on the reasons in the Gemara, it makes sense according to the first reason, because that would typically be a time that people are around to do it, that it's not too, that people would be home because it's already night, but it's not too late that perhaps people would be sleeping. And also, if you're looking at it from the other side, or Haner Yafeh LeBdika, you could still use a light, even if there's still a little bit of light outside. So you still have that focused nature of having it be dark all around and being able to shine the light in a specific spot, and people are around. So the Shulchan Aruch, as explained by the Mishnah Berurah, accepts this as the halacha, that the bedikah should take place at the beginning of the night. So if we look in source number 16, Betchilat Lel Yodalet B'Nisan, Botkim Et HaChametz L'Or HaNer. In the beginning of the night of the 14th of Nisan, we check for the Chametz L'Or HaNer by candlelight, Bechurin Ubistakin, in all of the cracks and the crevices, in all the little nooks and crannies, Bechol HaMekomot Shederech L'Hachnei Sham Chametz, in all of the places in which one typically finds chametz. And I'm a little bit laughing at this right now because I feel like every corner and crevice of my house has become a place where one typically brings chametz. I don't think that 3-year-old boys were accustomed to the, there are some places where we don't put chametz. So definitely relating to having to check all of the cracks and crevices. So if we look some in source number 17, the Mishnah Berurah as well, it should be after the stars have come out, when there's still a little bit of light left in the sky. That's when it's appropriate to begin checking. So that you shouldn't become lax about it, or you should perhaps forget to check. So that is actually that last few words by the Mishnah Berurah are going to bring us to our next discussion. So if it is ideal to do the bedikas chametz in the beginning of the evening, the question is then going to come up, are there restrictions on what you can do prior to doing bedikas chametz? What is this similar to? Think of the other mitzvos that apply at night. So reading the Megillah, lighting the Hanukkah candles. In each of these situations, we have a discussion as to are you allowed to eat before? Should you daven Maariv before or after? We have all of these conversations because when you're doing something at night, there's a worry that the night is a long time. You could push it off. You could say, I'm just going to eat dinner and then I'm going to learn a little and then I'll do the bedikas chametz. And next thing you know, it's midnight and you still have not done it. And now you either forget or you're rushing to do it. So the idea being, if we say that it has to be done at the beginning of the night, what things, if anything, are allowed or acceptable to be done beforehand? Or what things bring with them too substantial of a risk that you will come to forget to do the bedikah? So in source number 18, Amar Abaye. Hilchach, hayt sorva mirabanan lo lefateach ba'adanya be'orta ditzli asar dinahagei arbasar, dilama mishkacha le shamatei va'atei le'emnune mimitzvah. Therefore, a Torah scholar should not begin his regularly scheduled learning at night on the night of the, in the beginning of the night of the 14th of Nisan, as perhaps he will become too engrossed in his learning, and he will then be prevented from the mitzvah of doing bedikas chametz. So it's saying that one should not even learn a regular seder of learning Torah, even though learning Torah is also a mitzvah. One should not become too engrossed in the learning of Torah that one may come to forget to do bedikas chametz. So the problem with this ruling is that the Gemara in Brachot states that when a person returns home at night, they may study Torah prior to reciting the evening Kriyat Shema and Maariv if their regular practice is to study at that time. So why then are we nervous that if he's allowed to come home and learn before he says Kriyat Shema at night, and that's allowed, why are we not allowing him to learn prior to Bedikas Chametz? Are we more concerned for some reason that he will miss Bedikas Chametz than we are that he would miss Kriyas Shema? So the answer to that, or the question is posed by the source number 19, the Gemara in Brachos. Aval adam ba'min hasadeh ba'erev nechnas lebeis haknesses im regil ekro korei ve'im regil eshanot shoneh the korek kriyas shema mitpalel. So that is the Gemara in Brachos, who says that someone who comes in from work is allowed to learn before they daven for the evening. So why is there no concern that one might forget to recite Shema in that case? So there are two ways that we can resolve this question. What is it according to the Bach? That who says that since the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema occurs every day, one will not forget to recite it. But the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz occurs only once a year, so there is definitely a chance that one may forget. The Taz explains that the proper time for Kriyas Shema is all night, and ideally until midnight. Therefore, even if one's learning extends for a long time, one may still recite it afterwards. But the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz begins immediately at the beginning of the night, as was previously explained, and that is the proper time for the mitzvah. So either you can say it's because we're not so afraid that he'll miss Kriyas Shema as we are that he might forget to do Bedikas Chametz because it's something that he only does once a year, or that we might say that the obligation to recite Kriyas Shema really is throughout the entire night, whereas the obligation for Bedikas Chametz starts at the beginning of the night, and that's really when you were supposed to say it. It's not something that we say is like ideal throughout the entire night. So the Shulchan Aruch rules in accordance with the Gemara that Torah studying is forbidden before performing the Bedikah. So in source number 20, Yizaher kol adam shelo yatzchil b'shum melacha v'lo yochal ad sheyivdok. The Shulchan Aruch says, someone should not be engaged in any work, one should not eat, one shouldn't learn, ad sheyivdok, until one does the check. V'afilu im yesh lo eit kavua lo mod, even if one has a set seder of learning, lo yomod ad sheyivdok, he shouldn't learn until he does the Bedikas Chametz. And one can say, according to the reason of the Bach, that this would especially make sense, because imagine you come home from work, you sit down to your regular seder of learning, and now you're going about your night. It's even more likely that you would forget to do this Bedikas Chametz that comes up once a year. So even if you have a regular seder of learning, that's something that you have to put on pause for just a little while in order to do the Bedikas Chametz, and then you can go and continue on with your night. So the Mishnah Berurah comments in regard to eating and other activities. So in source number 21, shelo yatzchil b'shum melacha, v'afilu chetzi sha'a shekodem hazman asur delama ite le'em shuchai. He says, even a half hour before the zman, one should not begin something that they can get enmeshed in. They shouldn't begin something that will engross them too much. So they shouldn't even learn or eat in a way that will potentially continue on into the zman and would potentially lead them to forget to do the Bedikas Chametz. Loyal mode. Gamba zayish asurin af b'chetzi sha'asha mikudem delama atei le'em shuchay harbeim lo shebikish le'echad sheyizkuruni kishayavo hazman v'yesh matirin le'inyan limud mikudem v'rak behigi hazman shel seita kochavim aser. So the Mishnah Berurah says there's two approaches. We say you shouldn't sit down to an extensive meal a half hour before the Zman because it runs the risk of extending and then one may forget to do the Bedikas Chametz. However, with Torah learning, we're going to be a little bit more stringent because we don't want to limit Torah learning any more than we absolutely have to. So one should not study. With regard to this also, some forbid even learning the half hour before the Zman, lest one continue for a long time, unless one requested from another to remind him when the time arrives. But some permit with regard to learning before the Zman, and only when the time of nightfall arrives, it is forbidden. So some say that you don't have to refrain from learning a half hour before the Zman, and the obligation really only comes about, and that you can't do anything else beforehand once nightfall arrives. Okay, let's see one question in the chat. My understanding is you need to have your house completely cleaned before the Bedikah. But what if you still cannot finish until late and then you do the Bedikah very late at night? So something I learned actually later on, I used to think that like the whole Bedikah was hiding the 10 pieces of Chametz and then just going to find them. And it was like a very cute little scavenger hunt. But the Bedikah's Chametz is really supposed to be the final cleaning and check for chametz. Like, the bedikah can take a number of hours. If you make the bracha beforehand, and then you go and you search and you do your final cleaning, that's all part of the bedikas chametz. The finding the 10 pieces and the sweeping them up with a feather, that's only sort of the symbolic part of the checking. All of that, like the cleaning out the last places for chametz, that also becomes part of your bedikas chametz. So that's all part of it. It's not like you're doing that and then you're doing the bedika. That sort of starts off your bedika, and then you're continuing it with all of the pieces that we think of. Okay, and I think we're going to get into this next time, maybe. We'll talk about it at some point, the whole idea of like the candle. Does it really have to be a candle? So we'll get into that. Like, you don't need to be carrying around a candle for hours. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah says, one can say that you don't need to refrain from learning a half hour beforehand if A, you had someone remind you that if you continue past the Zman, you should stop to do the Bedikah. I would venture to say, and I believe I have heard this, that is, it is okay to set an alarm as well, that it doesn't have to be an actual person. It can be an alarm to remind you. And some would say, I don't know whether it's more or less strict, that the time, the Zman of Bedikas Chametz, is when you are not allowed to learn from. That we wouldn't want to extend this limitation on Torah learning the half hour prior to the Zman. So, one must one stop studying Torah if one has already begun studying Torah before nightfall? So if one did start within the half hour before nightfall, do you have to stop once you've already started? So Shulchan Aruch says in source number 21, if you did start learning prior to the Zman, you don't need to stop once the Zman arrives. And the Ramah says here, there are those who say that you do have to stop. And he says, that seems to be the primary opinion to me. So we're seeing that we're really taking this quite seriously. That there is this idea that we shouldn't be dilly-dallying, and that once the Zman for Bedikas Chametz arrives, that should really be when we are prioritizing doing the Bedikas Chametz. That the Ramah is even saying that even if you are actively engaged in learning, so we would typically say, ha'osik ba-mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah, but even if you are actively engaged in learning, you should stop your learning to do the Bedikas Chametz at the right time. The Magen Avraham suggests that in this case, it is permitted to learn Torah. Does the same halacha apply to a shir or a study group in shul? So let's say every day after work, you go to shul and you learn as part of a certain chabura, and then you go home. So it's part of your schedule, and it's not something that could extend indefinitely. It's something that has a start time and an end time, and you know that you're going to go home after this and be prepared to do the Bedikas Chametz. So in the Magen Avraham in source number 23, so some people discuss a dvar halacha in shul after davening. Mutarin lomar hashior, it is allowed to give the shior. Didavka mishalomid bebeito asor she'enu muchrach lakum mimekomo, aval zebavadai yilech lebeito. Viner eli didavka misha omer dvar halacha below pilpul. So he says, it is clear to me that this person, after he's done with the shir, is going to get up and go home. But he says, perhaps on the night of Bedikas Chametz, this shouldn't be a shir that's filled with pilpul, like an extensive learning and really a lot of detail. Aval aser lasok bepilpul afilu eno bebeso. Dibazeva dai ichal amigar dilma mimishcha le shemata v'ata li'im nue mimitzvah sheishkach achar kach milivduk. So he says, one who does decide to recite a Dvar Halacha with a lot of analysis, because then he will possibly continue, the conversation will continue, he'll be very engrossed in what it was that he was studying, and perhaps he will forget to do the mitzvah Bedikas Chametz afterwards. So if someone's sharing a quick Dvar Halacha in Shul, that's not something that we would worry about, because after that, everyone's going to go home, and they'll then do their Bedikas Chametz. But if someone is going to share a very, very detailed, very lumdish shir, then people perhaps will become engrossed in this topic, and then may end up missing Bedikas Chametz. Okay, so the Alkos Yosef accepts this ruling as well and adds that the Gabbai should remind everyone after the shir to remember to search for chametz. So if you did stay and chill for the shir, then they should remind everyone that, okay, you're going home now, you should go do bedikas chametz. So in source number 24, umikol makom, tov sha'im im siyum hashir, yachriz v'yazkir hashamish, shamish tatfim b'shiur yachlu levdok hachametz. Ela shagam b'ravim lo hitiru ela piskei halachot, O daf yomi, o shir mishnayos, beli pilpul, kenahog bazel balabatim, aval pilpul lo. Shema yamshichu achareha pilpul v'yishkichu livdok. So he says it should be a more simple shir, straightforward, with a beginning, and middle, and end, that it's clear at what point one is meant to go home and do the bedikas chametz. Source number 25. Aser la'achol se'uda shel pat yoter mishi'ur kibeitza. So when it says you're not allowed to eat before doing bedikas chametz, it says you cannot eat a se'uda that contains bread that is more than a kibeitza. Kodem bedikas chametz, before you do bedikas chametz, hachal michati sha'a kodem habedika. And this limitation begins half an hour before the zman bedikas chametz. V'din ha'uga k'din ha'pat. And mizonos would have the same rule as bread, that you can't eat a kibbutz of it. Aval le'echol pat ad shi'ur kibbutz, but you are allowed to eat a small taste of bread up until the amount of kibbutz. Beli klipata k'chamishim gram, 50 grams, mutar. V'peirot v'yirakot mutar afilu yoter mikibbutz. You can eat fruits and vegetables, and that can be more than a kibbutz. V'chein tavshil orez v'chayote, and also some sort of rice dish. Ota v'kafe mutter, or tea or coffee, those would all be allowed. So you can have like a light snack, but you can't have a full meal that contains bread or cake, anything mizonos that's larger than kibitza. And the Mishnah Berurah agrees with this ruling as well. Source number 26. V'lo yuchal v'ti'ima be'alma sharei. Small tastes are allowed. V'hainu pat kibitza v'lo yoter. O peirot afilu harbei. V'kimo shekatavnu b'sof siman reish lamidbet. Ayin sham v'mishnah berurah. V'ayin b'be'er halacha de peiros harbei. Eino mutar. So he says you are allowed to taste different things, but even a tremendous amount of fruit or vegetables, eino mutar, would not be allowed. Rak b'chatzi sha'a shekodem habedika, even up to 30 minutes before the zman. Aval mishehigia zman habedika, gamal yedei peiros ein nachol neshahot harbei. So he says we would be allowed to taste, we would be able to have fruits and vegetables all before the zman bedika. But once the time of actual bedikas chametz, you can't eat peiros, and you shouldn't even be like tasting smaller, lighter things then. So another question that sometimes arises is what to do if one cannot be at home at the time for bedikas chametz. For example, what should one do if one is still stuck at work at that time? So if we look in the Or LeZion, he discusses the proper practice in such a case. So in source number 27, so someone who's working in a shop, he can appoint either a child or a wife to do bedikas chametz at the right time. And he should do the bedika in his store if that is if it is a store that requires bedika. But if someone doesn't, if he does not find someone who can do the bedika in its time, so he is obligated to close his store early in order to be home to do bedikas chametz at the proper time. If he couldn't be home, but his wife or his children are available, that's okay. But if they are not available and he can't find anyone else to check his house bizman, he should go as far as to close his shop early. So the idea being that we might think that it's not so important. Okay, so we're generally doing bedikas chametz at this time because more people are home, but that's not like binding. And we might also think like, oh, it's easier to check by candlelight, but that's not necessarily a reason why it has to be at this specific time at night. But what we're seeing from all of the sources that follow is this very much is the time that is required of us. That this is the time, the beginning of the night. It should be the first thing you do so that you don't come to forget. because it's something that we do once a year. We do it during a very busy time, and it's very possible to forget to do it. And therefore, we are taking all the necessary precautions, not eating beforehand, and even not learning Torah in depth in a way that we would become engrossed to it before doing the Bedikas Chametz.